I want to welcome everybody to our Sunday morning worship service. Get your Bibles this morning and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you'll stand with me, we'll read verses 6 through 13. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, you are God's husbandry, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the words you've given me this morning. And we ask you, Lord, that you would take this message and use it for your honor and your glory. Bless those that couldn't be here this morning, Father. Bless those that are sick, those in the hospitals and nursing homes. Father, bless those that are suffering this morning, and lift them up and let them know that you are in their midst and you love them. Father, we bless you, we praise you, we glorify you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
This morning we're going to be continuing in our series, Love is the Key. And we're going to be talking about loving with our work. Loving with our work. And we notice that Paul talks about spiritual work in this chapter of 13. I'm going to be talking about physical work. Physical work that we do. We can love with our work. I've got a little story I want to share with you before we get into our sermon. It's nice when your boss notices your work. It's even better when the CEO of your company notices. And it's even better still when the CEO raves about your work to the President of the United States. Carol Shirley garnered that kind of attention. Shirley, 26, started working for Manpower Incorporated, a temporary service firm that is the nation's largest private sector employer, in September 1995. Originally hired as a service representative assistant, she became an ardent advocate for welfare recipients who wanted to work. The Milwaukee Central Office is in a less than ritzy area of the outskirts of the downtown business district. The office had been looking to hire university students, but Shirley took a chance on the area's down and outers. As she interacted with men and women, young and old, she saw people struggling to survive. That's when something began to stir within this daughter of affluent Milwaukee parents. I got convinced of the Holy Spirit, and I wanted to do something no matter what the consequences, she says. Along with Manpower's effective training techniques, Shirley added a personal touch. She spent serious time with each client, helping them develop soft skills, the etiquette needed in the business world. She wrote resumes and lent needed clients money from her own pocket, activities that ran counter to Manpower's official policies. At times, she borrowed from her parents to cover her personal loans she made to clients. She even invited some of them to her church, Christian faith fellowship. Her companionship paid off. Literally, people started coming in droves, and her office net profits rose by 300% in 1 year. She recruited 80 clients from her own congregation alone, where she was referred to as Sister Carol. Many of Shirley's recruits found full-time employment and became self-sufficient. She worked hard, sometimes from 7 a.m. to 3 a.m. the next morning with no overtime pay. Later at night, Shirley would walk around the office and pray for her clients. In fact, she prayed all the time, asking God for wisdom. Romans 8:28, Shirley's favorite verse, was a consistent reminder that all things work together for good to those that love God. Her computer screensaver, customized with blended biblical phrases like "I am more than a conqueror" and "all things are possible," also helped her focus on God's strength. As a result, Shirley's success, manpower, will begin opening new offices around the country focusing on inner city residents. Shirley's new role, along with a well-deserved promotion, is to help new locations and form strategic alliances with businesses. Although she'll be moving on, Shirley will be taking great memories of her work at Milwaukee's central office with her. Take the story of James, for example. James moved to Milwaukee to live with his brother, but his brother's new girlfriend felt three was a crowd, so James went to a shelter. Eventually, he ended up on the street sleeping on a vent near Shirley's office. When Shirley learned about James, she quickly found him a job at a food processing firm. A few days later, on her desk, Shirley found a paper bag with a note. The bag contained raisins and a candy bars. The note read, now I want you to listen to this, "I don't have any money to buy you a card. I don't have any money for flowers, but I give you what I have. I just wanted to thank you." Shirley says for her, that was 3 years worth of salary in 2 seconds. Listen, how we work affects what other people say about us. I want to show you what the Word of God says about work this morning, and maybe you will realize how important your work is in this life. Now, many, when we'll talk about that, many are not able to work. Many are disabled. Many have health issues, or maybe you're retired. You may not physically work, but Shirley is a perfect example of what it means to love others through her work. And while many of you do not work in situations where you have the kind of opportunity that Shirley does, we can all love God through our work. And I want to show you some ways that we can love God through our work. First of all, work is God's will. God put us on this planet to work. And that is evident throughout Scripture. What did He tell Adam and Eve? He told them, "And the Lord God," in Genesis 2:15, "and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it." Listen, God intends for us to work if we're able to work. Too many people today are drawing off the government and not working that are able to work. Amen. And that is against God's will. God wants us to work. Let me say this at the offset. Some of you might be disabled, unemployed at present, retired, or a stay-at-home mom. Those are circumstances that keep you from working in the traditional sense, but these principles can apply to you in many ways. God gives us the instructions in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there's a passage of Scripture over there that talks about our work and talks about how important our work is to God. God wants us to work. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. The Bible says, And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we command you. Now, Paul says something very important. He says to strive for three things in this chapter, in this verse. Live a quiet life, mind your own business, and work with your hands. That should tell us all that we should work if we're able. Yeah. Many people are not able to work, and I understand that. But many people today that are able to work don't work. They draw government assistance. They draw money off the city. They draw money off the county. They draw money off the state. And they just sit at home. God intends us to work. He put us on this planet to work. Since the very beginning of time, God has stressed the need for us to be people of work. Even the first humans had to work to do, to tend, and to watch over the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. This leads me to believe that work is a central part of our being. We were created to be people who work. In fact, God has a clear message for those who refuse to work. If you look in Proverbs 6, turn your Bible to the Old Testament in Proverbs chapter 6. I want to show you a passage and a warning from God about people that don't work. This is very important because there are many people that don't work that are able to work. Proverbs chapter 6, look in verse 6. Proverbs chapter 6, look in verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, harvest, provide her meat in the summer, and gather her food in the harvest. How long without sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, and a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Notice what Proverbs chapter 6 says in that last verse. Poverty comes to those that travaileth. Poverty comes to those that won't work. This is very important because we are intended to work with our hands. God put us here to work with our hands. Many people that work can't work. And many people that are not able to work have to work because many people that are able to work won't work. That should not be. If you're not able to work, you should not work. But you still can apply these things to your life and how you tend your house, how you are around the people you love. The Bible doesn't pull any punches in this verse. If we had more people with the habits of the ant, we would all be a more protective and a more productive society. But the larger point is this. God wants us to be workers. It is the way He designed us. And when we cannot work or choose not to work, it will reap negative results in our lives. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. One more verse I want to show to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is a very important work. This is a very important verse that we have on work and how our work affects our lives. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 in verse 6 through 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which we received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wroth with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were without you, were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Now I want you to notice something in this passage. Very important. Notice what it says in verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Work is related to what we eat. Working with our hands is how we make a living. Working with our hands is how we pay our bills. People that don't work shouldn't eat. Now, I'm not talking about people that are disabled, people that can't work. I'm talking about people that are able to work that don't work. They shouldn't eat if they don't work. What does the Bible say? The Bible says if you don't work, what do you turn into? Verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. In other words, if you don't work, the time you spend that you're working, that you're not working, you become a busybody or a tattletale or a gossiper. You get out of the will of God if you're not working, because what does that do? If you're not working with your hands, if you're not spending time working with your hands, what does that what happens? You become idle. You become a busybody. You become someone who tattles. Notice verse 12. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our own Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they should work and eat their own bread, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. So, what is Paul telling us here? He said, people that work, they show other people that they are trying to do the best they can with what God's given them. When you work, it shows people that you love God, and it shows that you're trying to do the best you can in the society. Not only are we admonished to work, but to stay away from all believers who live idle lives. That might sound harsh to many of us, but it should drive home the point that God takes this very, very seriously. We need to remember that the idle here are not those who cannot work, but those who refuse to work that are able to work. Secondly, work is our witness to the lost. Have you ever thought of your work in terms of how it can be used to reach the lost to come to know Jesus? Have you ever thought about how your work can influence the lost so that they might see Jesus in your life? Most of us don't think in these terms. In fact, many Christians in the work environment spend a lot of time complaining about work rather than working with their hands. What kind of example does that set? I need to be fully aware that the non-Christian at my place of business are watching me to see if my work matches my faith. In other words, am I honest when I'm working? Am I productive when I'm working? Do I give a good attitude when I'm working? And am I trying the best I can to do the best employer and to make myself the best employer or the best boss? That's how we love with our work. We show people that we are workers for Christ. We are doing the best we can to be productive, to be have a good attitude when we work, and influence the lost by the work we do. This is very important. Non-believers are watching us to see how we will work. Paul tells us about the positive results of those who work hard. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 12. And that you study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we command you, that you walk honestly towards them that are without and that you may have lack of nothing. When you work, you don't have lack of nothing. When you work with your hands, and when you don't work, what does the Bible say? You will fall into poverty and have to live off the government and have to live off other people. We should all work and show people that we're willing to work. Think about that. What a silent witness this could be to the lost if we're working with our hands. Many of us are afraid of actually telling others about Christ. Paul tells us that our work habits, we gain the respect of non-Christians. Now, that is not a substitute for telling people about Christ, but we can look at it as a pre-evangelistic tool with our work and gain people by having that good attitude, by working hard with our hands, and by doing what God has called us to do. That, my friend, is a good pre-evangelistic tool. Once you've gained their respect by the work you do, they are more likely to hear what you have to say about your faith. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 say this: walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Notice that. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, or in other words, the lost, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace. Now, thirdly, work is God's means for provision. Let's look at the verse we looked at moments ago, but pay close attention to the second half of it. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 12. We want to go over that verse again. But I want you to pay careful attention to the last part of verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 12. That you may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Remember that. That you will have lack of nothing when you work with your hands. Not only will non-Christians sit up and take notice, but you will be able to provide for your family and not need to depend on others. Now, the Bible makes it clear that we are to take care of those who cannot take care of themselves. But this is talking about those who are able to work. If you're able to work and work is available, then you should be the hardest worker that can be found, and you should work with a good attitude, you should work productively, and you should show people that God has placed you here to work, and I'm going to do the best I can at the job I'm doing. That is how we show love through our work. If you're able to work, and work is available. Now, there's jobs everywhere today. And they may not be jobs that pay $40 an hour, but there's jobs everywhere. There's no reason anybody shouldn't have a job today. There's jobs everywhere. There's help wanted signs on every building. People are desperate to hire people. By doing our work and by living out a life of purity and showing people that we're dedicated by work, you will not be dependent on the government, on other people, on your family, or anyone else. We're not talking here about being rich, but we're all talking about being able to provide the basic necessities and pay our bills. Paul sets an example for us in this regard. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Paul gives us a good example of how we're to work. Paul tells us that we should be people of work. Acts chapter 20. Look down in verse 33 and 35. Notice what Paul says. He said, I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Listen, we give with our heart. We give with our money. How do we give with our money? Working with our hands and earning money. We give to the needy. We support the weak. We support those that can't support themselves. This is what Paul's talking about. Not only did he not mention depend on others, but he also said, what about helping others who are in need? This is what we're called to do as we show love through our work. And lastly, God's work must be our top priority. Most of us do not work for the kingdom of God in the sense that it is where we derive our paychecks. Some of you work at a factory, others in an office building. Some may be working a medical clinic, some from your homes. But the one thing we all have in common is that we are all called to believers to make God's work our first priority. This doesn't mean that you have to spend all of your time at church or that you are not to neglect the job that puts food on your table. But it does mean that God is number one in all that we do, and that service to Him and His kingdom is paramount. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Yeah, we all know what that verse says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When I'm at work, I do the kingdom of God. I do it all for His kingdom and the growth of His kingdom. When I'm at home, I do everything to the glory of God. When I'm out and about, it is the kingdom of God that should be foremost in my mind and in my heart. The specific work that we're called to do for the kingdom of God is to reach out to those who do not know Christ as personal Savior. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 and 38. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 and 38. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now that word laborers means people that are willing to work. working for the kingdom, working to show people you're honest, working to show people you're dedicated to your job, working to show that you've got a good attitude, working to show that you work because God made you to work, and you're going to glorify God in your work. Are you willing to be one of the workers sent out into the harvest field today? Are you one of the people who will step up to the plate and say, I do serve God and His kingdom above all else, and I'm willing to do whatever God calls me to do? If so, then you are an answer to Jesus' prayer and the prayer of His disciples down through the ages. What we need more in today's society are workers in the field. We need workers to come on board and go out and teach people the Word of God. Teach people the mysteries of the kingdom of God. We need more people out working so they can reach people for Jesus. And how do we do that? We work with our hands. Everybody's not a pastor. I understand that. Everybody's not a singer. But we all can work with our hands. Show people how we are dedicated to our work. Show people that we have a good attitude. Show people that we try to be the best we can be in our work. That is a testimony that you can't buy. That is a testimony that you show with your work ethic, and you work to lead people to the throne of grace. Now, this work may not convince them to come to Jesus, but let me tell you something. If you work hard, if you work faithful, if you work with a good attitude, if you work with everything you've got to do the best you can do, and everything you do, that'll get people to ask you the question, why do you do this? Why do you work so hard? Why are you so dedicated? Why do you do the things you do? And that is the key to open up Jesus. You tell him it's because I'm a Christian. Because God made me to work with my hands, and I'm going to glorify Him by doing the best I can do at everything I can do. Listen, my friend, in conclusion, I realize that when we talk about work, most don't see it as a very spiritual topic. But as we've seen, it is a very, very spiritual topic. The way we work for a living and work, the work we do for the kingdom, says a lot about our relationship with God. Can you have a relationship with God and be lazy? I don't know, but I would say this. God talks about lazy people. And we read that verse in Proverbs. O thou sluggard, how long will you sleep? How long will you sleep and not work? Listen, my friend, God has called us to work. He's made us individuals to work. And He is everything in the Bible, all the way from the book of Genesis, He instilled in Adam and Eve to work. That's what we were made for. Not only to work physical labor, but to work for the kingdom. We're called to be laborers in the field. We're called to work in the kingdom of God. We're called to work. Everything about our life is work-oriented. Whether we're working at a job to make a living, or whether we're working for the kingdom of God, trying to lead people into a relationship with Jesus. That work is essential. Everything about our life should be circled around one thing. What can I do through my work to lead people to Jesus? How can I be a testimony? How can I do the best I can do? How can I work with a good attitude? How can I work to be the most productive? How can I work to let people see that I'm a child of God and that I honor God with my work. Listen, my friend, we're all called to work, and that work is very important to not only to God, but to our spiritual life. How we work and how we show people we work is very important. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this message you've given me. Lord, I hope that I've explained it in a way that people can understand it. Father, help us to be workers in the field. Help us to be workers at our job. Help us to be workers everywhere we go to show people that we were created to work and that you glorify that work. As we read, we will be judged on the work we do. That does not just mean spiritual work. That means how we have worked in this life to provide for our families, how we have worked in this life to lead people to the throne of grace, and how we have worked to earn our living to feed all of those we must support. Father, we bless you. Lord, take this invitation. Take this time to lead someone to the throne of grace. Maybe there's a Christian here that no longer feels close to you. Father, help them to come to the altar to seek you once again. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We glorify you. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.